He's at the spring meetings with the folks who put on the college football playoff. Welcome in, George Schroeder. George, how you doing?
Life is good. How are you?
All is well here. So a mid-April meeting of the college football playoff. What's on tap? Kind of curious as to what the focus is.
Well, it's the annual meeting. They have it every year in this time of year. And the answer about what's on tap this year, I mean, some years there's some new news that comes out. This year, I'm not sure there's going to be a whole lot. I mean, the playoff 2 years in is running smoothly. They'll transition from Jeff Long as chairman of the selection committee to Kirby Hocott. I almost said Kirby Smart. That would be an interesting deal if the Georgia coach came.
Yeah.
But Kirby Hocott, the Texas Tech athletic director, will be the new chairman. And those guys will present a report. And then they meet with the television partners, they meet with the bowl partners, and the commissioners of the 10 FBS conferences and Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick will all meet together and talk about all sorts of issues. But the thing is, there aren't a ton of issues this year to get all worked up about. And so, in a lot of ways, for them, that's really good news.
Now, you mentioned Hocott. He is he's a young guy. He's only about 45 years old. He's at Oklahoma, yeah. Miami. He played at Kansas State about 20 years ago. Seems like if I'm not out of line, a nice injection of youth into the whole process.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a fair way to put it. I mean, you know, Jeff Long's in his, you know, I guess mid-50s, early to mid-50s. So you go about 10 years younger. Kirby's got a lot of experience. I mean, he was the athletic director at Miami before Texas Tech and, you know, has been in administration several different places before he became an athletic director. Also, one of the things for him, too, is he played football at Kansas State. So, I mean, you know, he's played the game. He's never coached it, as far as I know, but he's played it and, of course, has been an administrator. So he's been in and around football. I think he'll be a really good fit as the playoff selection committee chairman.
Now, there's some new faces, including our own Rob Mullins out here at Oregon, Michigan coach, former Michigan coach Lloyd Carr. And I know this is how they set it up, but is it just naturally logic to think this kind of rotation style just provides a nice system of checks and balances to get fresh eyes in there every couple years?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And look, they set it up the first time with some staggered, because they all started at the same time, obviously. The idea is going to be everybody has a 3-year term. Eventually, you'll have several people rotating off every time. But, you know, they staggered at this time where a couple of them only had 2-year terms and a couple of them have longer than 3-year terms. The idea will be that, you know, essentially a third of them, I guess, rotate off every year and are replaced by new people, kind of the way the NCAA basketball committee works. And I do think it's good. It gives you fresh blood, as you said. What I don't think we understand yet is how the changing composition of the selection committee might change what they think is important at some point.
Huh.
You know, I mean, maybe one of them thinks that, you know, quality wins is hugely important. Maybe one of them thinks the eye test is hugely important. Maybe, you know, maybe the committee ends up being populated at some point by people who think a factor that wasn't as important the first couple of years is more important than that. And so, I mean, I think we've seen that over the years with the basketball committee. We may not have always recognized it, but I think it'll be interesting to see if sort of as the committee changes, what it thinks is important changes, and then it changes back as it changes again.
Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. Spring football taking place. You caught a little bit of Alabama. The reigning champs lost their starting quarterback, Jake Coker. Cooper Bateman was the backup. I saw a redshirt. Blake Barnett made some nice throws. Any sense of who might be a favorite? And any legit concerns that maybe there's going to be a big drop-off at quarterback at Bama?
Well, I mean, they've had issues the last couple of years. I mean, Blake Sims had a nice year. Lane Kiffin did a really nice job molding an offense that had a dual threat guy. Jacob Coker, frankly, came on towards the end of the year, but for most of the year, they sort of covered for him last year, and they worked out. And the point is, it worked out fine both ways. They were really, really good both ways, and the reason is they've got so much talent around him. And I don't know if that's changed. They're going to have to replace Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake at running back. But they're going to be really good all over the place, and the people they're going to replace at running back are going to be good. I think Blake Barnett is the guy they'd like to win the job, frankly. but he's had been a little turnover prone in practices and scrimmages and things like that. I think he was the favorite to win the job, perhaps even going into last season, and he had a bad scrimmage late, and Jake Coker ended up with it, and frankly, Barnett fell below, obviously, Bateman, too. But I guess what I would say is I'm not sure with Alabama, and at some point it's going to matter, but to this point it hasn't mattered who they put at quarterback. They're so talented everywhere else that if you can just get that guy who doesn't throw the ball to the wrong team, which is kind of the problem so far with Barnett, then you can just get that guy, then they're good enough to beat most people just by, you know, squeezing them to death. So, you know, and maybe ever so often you get into a game where you need a quarterback to make plays, but not nearly to the degree that most teams need a quarterback to be so dynamic. So it's not an answer. I don't know who's going to win the job.
Right.
But I do think it we've already seen that at Alabama, it maybe doesn't matter quite as much as it does almost everywhere else.
No, that's an interesting take. At Texas, getting to year three, Charlie Strong, they just had their spring game. Not a good year last year, inconsistent play at quarterback. And I know they only played a half of the orange versus white, but I guess there was a big buzz around a true freshman, Steve Buchel.
Yeah, Shane Buchel is a he's a highly recruited kid who enrolled early, participated in spring practice. And look, so Gerard Hurd and Tyrone Soups sort of shared the job last year. Hurd ended up starting more games. And Hurd hurt himself, got hurt. I don't remember what the injury was, and missed half the spring and the spring game. Don't know when he'll be back. Should be ready for August practice. Swoops didn't have a very good spring game. Kind of looked like the same old Tyrone Swoops. I think there's significant momentum out of Texas to where they might end up starting a true freshman against Notre Dame in the season opener.
Wow.
That would be wild. Now, it's not something you want to do. But given how the quarterbacks that played at Texas over the years and how those two specifically, Hurd and Swoops, have played, you might want to put some other kid in there and see what he can do. Throw him in the fire. You know, he's clearly the future of Texas football quarterback. He might be the present.
There's an NBA team in your home state, Oklahoma City. Went from a 38-point romp in game one. Then they miss by a point, a wild finish. The series revs up in Dallas tomorrow. Durant tied Michael Jordan's record for most missed shots in a playoff game. folks by you nervous? Or are they seeing this maybe as a glitch against the team they probably end up handling?
Can I say both on that? I mean,
you just did.
Look, first of all, I don't think anybody thinks that Durant's going to have a game like that. Westbrook didn't have a great game shooting either. I think they think that those guys will be better next time out, and they'll handle the Mavs. That said, the other piece of that wasn't just that Durant, didn't shoot well, and he really didn't. He finally hit that three with about 4 seconds left or whatever it was to pull him within one. The other piece of it is that that they blew another fourth quarter lead. Now, it wasn't a big fourth quarter lead, but it was a fourth quarter lead, and I don't know what the stats are, but they lose. They have lost over and over and over again this year, fourth quarter leads, and that is a concerning thing as they try to get, advance far in the playoffs. And look, looming over everything when it comes to the Thunder is the impending free agency of Kevin Durant, whether or not he's going to stay or not, which makes, at least a lot of people think, makes this playoff run, whatever it is, more critical than normal, that they make a deep, deep, deep run to show that they can be a championship contender and maybe a championship team. So there's just pressure everywhere, whether it's real or not. It's perceived, at least.
By the way, 15 fourth quarter leads they blew this year.
Right.
They only
Russell Westbrook took a sort of tried to make the point a couple 3 weeks ago when reporters were asking about that, saying, "Well, some of them aren't really fourth quarter leads because if it's only 1 or 2 points, it's not really a lead." And I'm thinking to myself, "Look, I get what you're saying, but simple math shows that it's a fourth quarter lead that you blew." I understand exactly what he's saying, but a lead is a lead, or it's a tie or a deficit. It's one of the three. You can't say if you're ahead by two, that's not really a lead. So he took some issue with that, and his math is a little fuzzy. But it's a bad stat.
It's the worst stat. It's the most in the NBA. I'll give you a final question. Seems like we're seeing a lot of retired guys talking about how the Bulls 20 years ago would handle the Warriors and Steph Curry. When you consider different rules, different culture, guys share agent, sneaker companies, As a 55-year-old, I look at the games and the guys we're seeing now, and I'm like, I've never seen it better. Is it just guys getting, you know, afraid of getting old, not being in the spotlight, trying to stay relevant? What do you make of this whole defending the in my day era?
Look, I think there's something to it a lot of times, in that sometimes leagues get watered down. First of all, there's more, you know, there's a couple more teams,
yep.
I think, but leagues do get watered down. But style of play changes too. I mean, you know, I actually think there are far more people who can shoot the three in the league now than there were in the middle of the Bulls run.
Sure.
Put it that way. Because I think that was at a time when the NBA was really suffering from a lack of shooting, a dearth of shooting, and that's changed over the years. So, look, I know that the Warriors are the ultimate example of, hey, let's shoot the three until the lights go out. I get all that, but I'm trying to think of just sort of that starting five for the Bulls before we ever get to the depth on the bench and stuff. You know, obviously, when you start with Jordan and Pippen, you start with something pretty special.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure anybody's right to say Steph Curry is the best player of all time at this point. He's the best player in the NBA, but is he the best player of all time? No, it's Jordan or it's LeBron or whoever. You know, it's Pippen was a pretty good Robin to Batman. You know what I mean?
Not that. Absolutely.
That. But the rest of that, they essentially filled with role players. So, I mean, I think when you say Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, I mean, that's a pretty good trio right there, I just think. And I'm not trying to give short shrift to anybody else. That's a pretty good trio they've got going. Let me put it this way. I don't know who wins it, but I'd really love to see it happen. If we can somehow magically transplant those 50-year-olds, turn them into 30-year-olds and play the Warriors, wouldn't you love to see it?
Oh, man, we need, what's his name, from Back to the Future? Doc Brown was
DeLorean. He just sort of kidnapped those guys, stuffed them into the trunk of the DeLorean. I'm not sure there really was a trunk. And then have them come play a game and then take them home. They don't even have to know where they are, right? We just stick them in a dark gym. And then they can go back to 1994 or whatever we're talking about.
All right, well, I'm going to go in search of the plutonium to make that happen. You get back to the meetings. Follow them at usatoday.com on Twitter, @George Schroeder. George, always fun. Travel safe. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. Take care.